93 FM on digital radio and online. It's now 3 o'clock, and now we've World Roots with a special birthday event introduced by Lucy Duran.
Welcome to the second of our programmes celebrating World Roots' 10th anniversary here in the Maida Vale Studios in London, in front of an audience of listeners, friends, musicians and contributors to the programme, some of whom have flown in from around the world to be with us here in the Bing Crosby studio. Over the 10 years that World Roots has been broadcasting, we've visited, I think, 55 countries, quite an astonishing number of places. And we've recorded some amazing music on location. We've met many new and extraordinary artists, and we've heard styles and sounds that we didn't even know existed. Later on in today's programme, we have 6 young musicians that have flown in, especially from the other side of the world, Mongolia. We met them there only last August, but their incredible throat singing and their horsehead fiddle playing made a lasting impression on us, so we just had to have them over for this party. But we start closer to home. One instrument that's always had a special place on World Roots is the kora, that 21-string harp from West Africa. And we're lucky enough to have one of the finest young players who lives right here in the UK. This is a musician who's constantly pushing the borders of what this beautiful instrument can do. He moves effortlessly from his own musical roots in Casamance, which is in the south of Senegal, where his whole family are masters of the kora, into a much wider world of influences. Today, he's here with his quintet, and they are Davide Mantovani on double bass, Surahata Suso on calabash and djembe, Sammy Bichet on violin. He's from Egypt. I should have said that Davide is from Italy. And Binta Suso on voice, who is the sister of Sekou. And I said that the kora has 21 strings, but actually one of the 3 koras that's on stage that we'll shortly be hearing actually has 42 strings and 2 necks. And this is just one of the ways in which this innovative player updates and modernizes his music. So please welcome Sekou Keita and his quintet. Thank you.
you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sekou Keita. The Sekou Keita Quintet. Mainly from Senegal, but also from Egypt and Italy. Sekou Keita on kora and voice. Davide Mantovani on bass. Surahata Suso on percussion. Sammy Bichet on violin. And Binta Suso singing. And that last song was Miniamba, which has got to be one of the most beautiful old tunes of the Bandinka repertoire. So, Abaraka, thank you, thank you. And that's here on World Roots in this special 10th anniversary concert at the Maida Vale Studios in London. Well, while the next group of musicians gets ready to play here on the stage, I'd like to take you to another part of Africa. Back in 2006, World Roots went to Uganda to record some of the outstanding interlocking xylophone music. We were taken there by the musicologist Peter Cook and his son Andy, both formidable musicians who really know the tradition well. And they introduced us to one of the most unforgettable sounds of our travels, the pit-resonated giant xylophone of the countryside in southeast Uganda. You have to actually go there to see it. There's no other way of doing that. Luckily for us, we were there to record this incredible sound. The music is put together very elaborately by six musicians who interlock with absolute precision. And we were able to find out just how they do that with the help of Andy Cook. Andy, when they're all playing together, it's so kind of dense and complex. Mm. It would really help me to understand how this music is put together. If you could ask them to maybe come in one by one, each of the xylophone players, and explain what's happening.
Sure. So we'll start with Waiswa, who's holding two beaters. He's sitting at the top of the instrument, and he's outlining the melody. So I'll invite Waiswa to begin. Okay, after that, another player sitting opposite him will mix notes in between his. And then sitting at the top of the instrument is the leader of the group called Kopolo. Again, he's got two beaters and he elaborates the melody. He's got five notes that he plays. Sometimes he'll do riding rhythms on just one note, as he's doing right now. So that's Kopolo. Then there are three musicians at the bottom end of the xylophone, so we'll invite the first of those to play. He's holding one beater and using his hand to dampen the keys. And he's playing like a bass rhythm at the moment, but other times he'll be playing drum rhythms. So then we'll hear the next drummer, who again is holding one beater and using his hand again to dampen. Actually, the bottom two keys that he's playing are covered in rubber just to modify the sound, take away some of the harmonics. They're kind of interlocking parts together. Then sitting right at the bottom is another player playing just one key. So sometimes he uses two sticks, sometimes one. At the moment he's using two sticks. And he's playing the role of somebody who would be normally playing tall drum covered in a lizard skin, but they've roofed the drum and are using a xylophone key. So now let's hear all of the parts together.
Resonated giant xylophone from Nachibembe in southeast Uganda that was recorded by the World Roots team in 2005. A reminder that some sounds just cannot travel, and that's one reason why we go on location whenever we can. For the very first location program of World Roots, we went to China. And that was way back in November 2000, exactly 10 years ago. We went to a club for the elderly, where a whole group of elderly musical amateurs get together regularly to play a musical style known as silk and bamboo. And they were led by the hammer dulcimer, or the yang qin player, Mr. Cheng.
There have been many changes, but I've always kept on playing the yang qin. During the Cultural Revolution, we had to stop playing in public for several years, but we carried on playing at home with just a few friends gathered together secretly.
Mr. Cheng, do you mind my asking you how old you are?
I'm 76.
How do you stay so young looking? Must be your the yang qin.
I play my instrument all the time. Music is good for your health. When you're playing this kind of music, you must use your brain, your heart, your eyes, your ears, your hands, and even your feet. Just moving keeps you in good health. Music makes you feel good about life.
Silk and bamboo music recorded in China in 2000, one of the first location, or the first location program that we did on World Roots. Well, in the second of these two programs of concerts by specially invited musicians, many of the musicians have flown in from around the world to be with us here. And we end today's program with a group who've come all the way from Mongolia, and that is a very long journey indeed, and you will see why we have invited them. They're about to do their very first UK performance right here in these studios underneath the Bing Crosby plaque. And last summer, we went to Mongolia to record music for our new Music Planet series, which goes out on BBC Radio 3 from the middle of January 2011. We were introduced to a group of six young musicians who call themselves Huzuktun. Now, before going to Mongolia, I'd heard the fabulous throat singing, or humi, which is so much a part of the nomadic way of life in the grasslands of Mongolia. It's accompanied on the morinhur, which is the mournful and beautiful sounding horsehead fiddle. But quite frankly, I was utterly bowled over by the music of this group. And like Sekou Keita, who we just heard, they bring ancient roots traditions right into the 21st century. So all the way from Mongolia, please welcome Huzuktun. It's in the
Yeah.
Mongolia. Well, many thanks to all the musicians for flying in from around the world and joining us on this World Roots 10th anniversary special celebration from the Maida Vale studios. Here on BBC Radio 3, we look forward to Human Planet, the television series on BBC One. That starts on Thursday, the 13th of January 2011 at 8 p.m. and our own parallel series in which we go to the same locations but we follow musical stories. That's Music Planet on BBC Radio 3 at 9 p.m. immediately after the television programme. And you can also hear it again repeated in the World Roots slot 2 days later on the usual Saturday 3 to 4 p.m. time. In fact, the very next World Roots will be the first episode of Music Planet. See you then, and now I leave you with one more piece by Huzuktun.
Hey, the
Uzuktun from Mongolia, ending that 10th anniversary World Roots concert. It was introduced by Lucy Duran, and the producers were James Parkin and Roger Short. And as Lucy said, World Roots takes a break for a while now. Next week at this time, it's the annual Festival of Nine Lessons and Carols. That's followed by two Saturdays devoted to our Mozart extravaganza, The Genius of Mozart. And then after that, in mid-January, the first of our major new series, Music Planet.
This is Christmas on BBC Radio 3. The musical spirit of the season. Great performances of Christmas music, past and present. Continuing with Bach's Christmas Oratorio, with the choir of Trinity College, Cambridge, and the Orchestra of the Age of Enlightenment. Thursday night on BBC Radio 3 from 7:30.
Or back to this Saturday afternoon, and with the time coming up to 4 o'clock, it's 4 o'clock exactly, in fact, time for Jazz Library with Alan Shipton.
This week, Jazz Library returns for the second of two special editions, looking at Australian jazz. And once again, I'm joined by Roger Dean, pianist, composer, band leader, and general expert on Australian jazz. Roger, welcome back to Jazz Library. We're going to plough straight into the programme this time with a group called the Artisans Workshop. Now, this is bringing our story into the early 1990s, and it's very much of its time. This, it has sounds that seem to me to be redolent of that period.
Yes, this track is called Ridiculous, and I must say I was very pleased to choose it because they were a group of younger musicians than myself who invited me to go and play with them when I first was in Australia. They'd already become established, but they had a series of charts that they sent that they said we were going to play, and I looked at them and my first thought was, this is ridiculous, this is almost a bit like trying to play Fairniehoe, because there was going to be about half an hour's rehearsal, etc., the usual situation when you go to play as a visitor. But when I got there, I realised that not only was it ridiculous, but that they could play it absolutely brilliantly. They were completely on top of very complex structures. And what's more, they were completely on top of improvising with those very complex structures. And you don't get a full depth of impression of that from this piece, but I think you can begin to hear what I'm talking about. It is quite remarkable, the polymetric approach of Ken Eady, the drummer, the brilliant violin playing of John Rogers, who we'll also hear later with the Art Orchestra. It's something quite unique, and there is only this one album of their work, and while they continued for a bit longer, not that much longer after 1992.
Ridiculous by Artisans Workshop, that's Elliot Dalgleish, John Diamond, John Rogers and Ken Eady back in 1992 on the Tool Poppies label. We're going to come to a band now that established itself around that same period, end of the 1980s, beginning of the 1990s, but which is still, 20-odd years later, doing its thing, and that's a band called The Necks, a trio of Chris Abrahams on piano, Lloyd Swanton bass and Tony Buck on percussion. And they, to my mind, have tried very hard to absorb the language of minimalism into jazz. A lot of the things that they do wouldn't be out of place in a Terry Riley or Philip Glass concert.
Yes, I think that's one way of looking at it. I rather suspect that if they were here, they would slightly bristle at that description, because I think they might well feel that they're more influenced by repetitive music from Asia. But nevertheless, what you say is a very fair description of it. This is actually a very short, repetitive, minimal piece of theirs from the El Rocco album, which is suitable to represent them on this programme. Usually their pieces are more like 55 to 60 minutes, or a whole of a set in a live performance. And they still do, as you say, use some of the same techniques of having a very simple rhythmic motive at the beginning, developing it with at least three layers or maybe more from the three players, and then gradually merging and transforming it over a long period. It is unusual, but it certainly does have that relationship with minimal music.
Thank you.
Your Family by The Necks from Beyond El Rocco, the ultimate Australian jazz soundtrack on the Vox Australis label. Chris Abrahams on piano, Lloyd Swanton bass and Tony Buck on percussion, recorded at the end of the 1980s. This is Jazz Library with me, Alan Shipton, my guest, Roger Dean, looking at Australian jazz over the last 20 years or so. And Roger, I think it was about 14 years ago that here on Radio 3 we worked together on a broadcast with your band, which is called the Australisis Electro Band, with whom you've recently been back in the country. And this band really was looking at trying to extend some of the ideas we've talked about in this and the last programme into a landscape where computers and electronics were part of the everyday improvisational vocabulary of the band.
Yes, that's absolutely right. I was trying to use, and I still am trying to use, the computer both as an instrument which can play melodic lines like a piano and drive very decent sounding piano or percussion lines, and as an instrument which can transform audio sound and make it electroacoustic. And so we try to have a continuum between those acoustic sounds like Sandy Evans' saxophone, which you'll hear, and the acoustic sound of the piano, and the electronic derivatives from there, as well as electronic independent sources. And so we've put a lot of energy into that over a long while. And I chose this particular piece, Ostinato, for us to have on the programme, because it does relate to that minimal tradition that we've just been experiencing and which we'll have a bit more of in this programme. And yet at the same time we do, I think, manage to break out of it completely. First of all, you hear Sandy sounding a little bit like a Coltrane follower, but you soon realise that she's not just that, and there's a lot of other things which happen. And you also hear an ostinato which gradually transforms harmonically and then eventually is completely ruptured rhythmically. So those continuities are really at the core of this piece.